Well, hello and welcome back to another episode of Bible Prophecy for Today. My name is Heather and I've got some news and views from a West Texans, a biblical point of view one you're going to find in your mainstream media. Hey guys, welcome to today's podcast. It is March the 5th. It's about 10 o'clock my time, Central Standard Time, here in the great state of Texas. Oh, Texas. So, guys, thank you so much for your prayers for our wildfires here. We have more that have started yesterday, so if you'll continue to pray for us, we sure would appreciate that. It is absolutely devastating. I can't watch the videos. The cows run. It is horrific. Oh, goodness. Please continue to pray for us and those who've lost their homes. If you guys would like to donate, Fritch, Texas is a poor community. I'm not saying that they're all poor, but I'm saying they're like they're a little bit on the more needful side, I would say. And if you'd consider donating, Fritch, Texas would most definitely benefit from that, and their fire department. Lots of other folks too. But guys, I wanted to jump on today because I don't know if you've noticed or not, but it looks like Facebook, Meta, Instagram, they're all down. Right when, I don't know, voting is going on. It's like ironic. Things that make you go, So anyway, it's just another way to control the herd. You know, that's what I like to say. Just a control, technique, control mentality. And people still believe their government. Like, there's this app, it's called Nextdoor. And I jump on there every once in a while just to see stuff. And some lady had posted all these, like, contrails, air quotes. They're going over her house. Like, why are they in a grid pattern? And so, of course, a couple of us have posted where those are chemtrails. And, oh, my gosh, the fight is on. And this one guy's talking about, well, I use critical thinking, blah, 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 blah. No, that's what you got to do. Like, mocking me and stuff. And I laughed. And I was like, yeah, you should take your own advice, bro. Use some critical thinking, not just what Google tells you. So I kind of figured out something. So when you go on, look, I'm just going to tell you. I'm just going to go here and I'm going to type in chemtrails. And you can go into any one of your search engines. I even use DuckDuckGo, same thing. And you have page after page after page of what the conspiracy theory is. It's all conspiracy. It's all total conspiracy, no matter what you type in there. And so it kind of makes you wonder, what are they hiding? Like, you could type in, you remember back in the day when everybody had free thought and you can make your own decision by reading, evidence and research and, that good old stuff. You can't do that anymore. Because if it goes against their agenda, they remove it. And all you get is page after page after page of why that's a conspiracy. And so, basically, they are programming you. And no matter what you use, Google, DuckDuckGo, whatever search engine that you choose to use, Safari, whatever, they are literally programming you. And I saw that because when I went to go find a little bit of research, it's anything. No, it's all conspiracy. It's a conspiracy theory, folks. Like all the people who took ivermectin, you horse face people. Well, it worked. And so now it's come out and, now they're out saying, oh, they worked and ivermectin works and blah, 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 4 years later. But you really have to dig to find the truth. And so arguing with these people are like arguing with a fence post or debating them. I wouldn't say argue, like debating them. No matter what you say, they're smarter than you and they're so much better than you are because you are just some conspiracy theorist. Shut out. And so I just kind of threw it up there and I said, it just stands to reason. If you go to look up something and there's nothing, no matter where you look, nothing that has anything good to say about it, like the truth, then something's wrong. Used to back in the day, you could put something up there and you have different articles saying, hey, this is why we believe this is true. No, this is why we think it's false. But no, not anymore. It's all, this is false. This is chemtrails. This is a conspiracy theory. You people are nutcases. You need to go back in the backwoods. And yeah, there's nothing on the other side of the topic. So there's no debating anymore. Any of your media, there's no debating. And what did Jesus say? Be ye not deceived. Take care that you are not deceived. We live in a day and age where everything, you can be deceived. They have AI-generated videos. Trust me, remember I had that whole survivalist corner? Remember, you guys, if you ever looked at that YouTube page or if you ever looked at the Facebook page that I had on there, yeah. All of that was AI-generated. Not nothing. Yes, I have a college degree. Nothing on there was real. It was all used like NVIDIA is called. Not NVIDIA, but NVIDIA, in.video.io or something like that. All of it was used by that ChatGPT. All of that wrote those stories. It did everything. Like, I typed in what I wanted. Like, this is what kind of what I'm looking for. And it did the rest. And like the city views and like the even the dude's face, a picture of the guy that was on there, the Survivor's Corner dude, was fake. He was artificially generated. The entire YouTube page, every single thing was AI generated. So that ought to scare the pants off of you, really. Well, it doesn't really scare the pants off of me. The Bible said these things would happen. Jesus, why do you think Jesus warned us so much? Don't be deceived. He knew what was coming. The Apostle John knew what was coming. Daniel foresaw this. They all saw these things. They knew what was coming. And Jesus told us over and over again, don't be deceived. So now when you look at these videos and you go look at all this stuff and you know, and now you think you're like, whoa, this is why people can be so easily deceived. Like these people that I, you know, debate on the Nextdoor app because they don't think the chemtrails are chemtrails. Yeah, they're contrails. My friend's a pilot, blah, 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 blah. Well, whatever, you know. So I gave them the geoengineeringwatch.org website, and I'm sure they'll just have a heyday tearing that apart, but those are actual scientists, so good luck. Let me guess, you, your friend who's a pilot knows more than these engineering scientists. Oh, okay, sure, whatever. Mm. And then this one lady said, what did she throw up there? Climate change or something, because she said, oh, yeah, it's probably got something to do with the climate change. You little people, blah, blah, blah. She's making fun of that. And I said, no, she said global warming or something. I said, oh, wait, is it global warming, global cooling? Oh, that's right, it's climate change. Yeah, because you remember 20 years ago when the world was going to end, we're all going to die, we're going to burn. And then it was, we're all going to freeze to death. And then now it's like, it's just going to go up and down. And yeah, it's like the Bible said, the climate changes. Like this morning, I got up, it was cold. It's a little warmed up right now. It's like, you know, take my little sweater off now. And this afternoon, I'll probably go out riding my bicycle because it's going to be nice outside. Climate changes. It's changed for years, you know. So, yeah. So, I threw that up there. I'm like, yeah, sure, climate changes. Yeah, but I'm usually trying to be very respectful. And, you know, because sometimes you just want to bap, 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 top that little message out to them. But you can't. You've got to be like, you know, respectful. Even though they aren't, we should still be respectful. And so, a thing that my dad always told me, don't ever say anything when you're mad. Don't say anything when you're mad. And I should have listened to him a whole lot more over the years. I'm a redhead. And so, you know, sometimes I'm just a little spitfire, but I've kind of grown out of that the older that I get. And I thank the Lord Jesus for that. But I still got a little bit of spitfire in me, you know, so I have to be very, very careful about, you know, what they call it, flying off the handle. Did anybody wonder where that came from, that term, flying off the handle? I have to look that up because it's kind of curious. But yeah, so you guys are probably aware that Facebook, Meta, Instagram, all this stuff is down. It's just a control mechanism. We are getting ready to vote, or today is voting. If you guys have not gone out to vote yet, you might want to do that. And, you know, it was such a, I don't know, ironic thing. Like I topped up, you know, Harbinger's Daily, one of my news sources. And I was like, what are we going to find today on Harbinger's Daily? And lo and behold, front page by Hal Lindsey. Computer vulnerabilities, just one area modern society stand on the brink of disaster. What? You know. What was that? Verizon was down. AT&T was down. They're just toying with us, folks. They have given us harbingers of what is coming. Guys, you need to get your seatbelts on and get your boots on. I don't care what you got to do, but you got to get prepared because 2024 is going to be like unlike anything we've ever seen. You think 2020 was bad? No, 2024 is going to be even worse. These people have an agenda, and the only thing holding them back would be the restrainer. So that's why they can't just all out do whatever they want to do. That's why Israel is still Israel, and they haven't wiped Israel off the face of the map because there is a restrainer, and God Almighty is sovereign. He is in control. We know that Satan is the little g God, which is ruler, little g. He's not like, you know, people try to make him out to be a God. He's not. It just means ruler is what it means, little r. Little r, ruler of this world. The Bible says so. Sin entered this world. Thank you, Eve. And Adam, but I'm just saying, you know, like we would have done any better, right? But I'm just saying, sin entered the world, and so boom. And ever since that, the world has groaned for the Lord Jesus to come and make things right. And that's what he will do. He will do it. That's what the tribulation is. He's going to come and rapture us out of here because we are not meant for his wrath. We'll be saved from the hour of trial, of tribulation. We will be yanked out of here, and then the whole world, boom, will suffer the wrath of God if you're not a believer. And there'll be millions upon millions of people saved during the Great Tribulation. Don't think they're not. But right now, we still have like this giant tsunami of sin. And we see it. We're living in it. Our souls are vexed. You know, we go back and we think about Daniel too. I mean, he was in Babylon. We think about all these things, and like Lot that was in the city of Gomorrah, and like Sodom and Gomorrah, and his soul was like, we live in those days right now. There are things happening behind the scenes that you and I probably would never even conceive of, the evil that is happening. Like, you know, making a quote-unquote vaccine for a virus that we concocted in a lab to kill millions of people. You and I would never think of doing something like that, but evil run amok. This is a world that we live in. It is a world under the sway of Satan. If you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, you will be swept away in this. I see these people. Oh, that's one other thing that I put on there. How many vaccines did you get? When they were talking about, you conspiracy theorists, they're contrast. If you ever use your brain, you know, I use reasoning. Yeah, you don't use reasoning. You use Google, bro. And you listen to whatever Google tells you. Anyway, I just went up there and asked him, so how many vaccines did you get? How many boosters did you get? You know, back in my day when I got a vaccine, it worked. It only took one time. You know, I never got polio. I got vaccinated. I never got it. Of course, that was like 40 some odd years ago. You know, yeah. Kids these days get like 30, 40 vaccines. That's ridiculous, people. Absolutely ridiculous. Do you think those elitists vaccinate their children? Not if they love them. No. So, anyway, get off this high horse. Let's jump on this article by Hal Lindsey, posted the 3rd of March. At harbingersdaily.com. So he says, we live in the days of peril. It's as if someone put a special door in the Pentagon along with a sign that says, terrorists enter here. They have their own entrance at the White House too, and at your house. It started in the first half of the 20th century when many of the world's elite believed that improved communications technology might finally bring an end to war. In the 1930s, H.G. Wells predicted that something he called a world brain would help bring peace on Earth. Even earlier, in a 1926 interview with Collier's Magazine, Nikola Tesla said, quote, when wireless is perfectly applied, the whole world will be converted into a huge brain. Not only this, but through television and telephony, we shall see and hear one another as perfectly as though we were face to face, despite intervening instances or distances of thousands of miles. And the instruments through which we shall be able to do this will be amazingly simple compared with our present telephone. A man will be able to carry one in his vest pocket. Unquote. That was from 1926. Belgian peace activist Paul Otellet predicted complete connectedness. He believed individual human beings would be assimilated into a world brain and through it achieved a kind of godhood. He wrote, quote, man would no longer need documentation if he were assimilated into a being that has become omniscient in the manner of God himself. Unquote. As years have passed, we still have not achieved many of the things people predicted for the future. We have only prototypes of flying cars. We don't have giant space station hotels orbiting the Earth or Earth colonies on distant planets, but we do have supercomputers in our pockets. The most important thing about today's computers, whether giant server farms or lowly smartphones, is not their processing power. It is the thing foreseen by Tesla. It is their connectivity. Together, in a very real sense, they form a world brain. Their connectedness provides amazing levels of convenience in our lives, but it also represents one of the gravest, most immediate threats ever faced by civilization. Hackers regularly hold banks, hospitals, corporations, schools, and government agencies hostages. The hackers sometimes lock away data so that an institution can't open its own files. In a hospital or law enforcement agency, this can be deadly. At other times, they steal private data that might be embarrassing, damaging, or even something that could lead to war. We recently saw the government of Fulton County, Georgia, suffering from both of these kinds of attacks. The hackers compromised systems used by county officials and residents, and they threatened to release damaging information unless the county gave in to their demands for a massive ransom payout. But the dangers of computer vulnerability get much worse. Supply chains that bring essential goods to your grocery store and life-sustaining pharmaceuticals to your drugstore are connected and vulnerable. The power grids of all nations are computerized and internet connected. That makes them vulnerable to cyber attacks. The potential damage done by a sustained power outage over half the United States is incalculable. But the threat is real. Even more important, entry level of national defense has some dependence on connected computers. If you're trusting in science for your security, you may be beginning to see the unsoundness of that position. Computer vulnerabilities are just one area where modern societies stand on the brink of disaster. Now is the time to put your trust in God. The concerns I express here may never come to fruition, but you will die one day. You will stand before God, and you can be ready. Christ died for you. Once again, this article is by Hal Lindsey. And he says, put your trust in him and in his grace. Put your life in his hands. When you are his, he will say to you the same thing he said to a man named Joshua long ago as he entered a time of severe danger. Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That's Joshua 1:9 from the NESV. And in Matthew 28:20, Jesus says, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Guys, I hope this brings some encouragement to you guys during this time of unprecedented, I don't know how to even say it. It's just so much, I want to say anxiety. And a lot of people I know express to me that they have anxiety over things that are happening. One way to combat anxiety is to read your Bible. Read the Word of God. Read Matthew. Read John. Go in there and read Jude and James, and you know, read Philippians and read Ephesians and even read Revelation. And if you guys have questions about Revelation, go throw this out there. My pastor, Dr. Randy Davis, is going through verse by verse. We're going through the book of Revelation. There's an 18-part series or 16-part series. You guys can always join us Facebook live stream from my Bible Prophecy for Today Facebook page, or from that page. Actually, you can't do it right now because what? That's right. Facebook is down. So anyway, but you can always catch us on YouTube as well. Or you can always go to our website, and that is newhopefellowshiprr.org. Let me make sure I got that right. I don't want to give you guys the wrong one. newhopefellowship.org. Let me see here. .rr. Make sure I got that right. Yes, folks. So, definitely want to go there. And you can also find us at, actually what I did, you can check this, guys. So I actually put, my pastor's, sermons from, his previous church, was Lifeway Fellowship. He was there since 1993 and retired in 2022. And then, of course, thank God he didn't completely really retire. So now we started a new church at New Hope Fellowship at River Road. And so if you do go to our website, though, you guys can check down there. And I actually put them on here. We have, if you scroll down to the bottom, it says Wednesday Bible Study Series End Times, which I added that one. Now the current study is, of course, the book of Revelation. But if you keep scrolling, I actually put the playlist of End Times videos from Pastor Dr. Randy Davis. And so if you click on that, I'm going to pause it here because it'll play. There we go. So it's, I have all of them, all 26 of them. So anything you ever wanted to know about the end times, you guys can find them. He's preached on it. The Middle East invasion, that was a couple years ago. And of course, what's going on right now in the Middle East, the rapture of the church, the 70th week of Daniel, the coming world ruler, the great tribulation, the battle of Armageddon, the tribulation saints, the battle of Armageddon, the role of the United States, the millennial reign of Christ, the great white throne judgment, the city of heaven, mastering materialism. I threw that one in there because it was really good. Yeah, living by faith. Having faith instead of fear. This is all during the COVID times, if you guys remember that. God's provision in time of need, which is still relevant today. God's glory returns, the temple of the Lord, the future invasion of Israel, the valley of dry bones, Gehenna, Hades, the place of the dead, Tartarus, the reality of hell, eternal security of the believer. And so I think there's a little bit more on there. I'm going to go back and hunt some more and add to that playlist. But you can also get to that playlist if you go to our YouTube page, which is at New Hope at New Hope Fellowship at River Road, if you want to go there. So, well, it seems, I guess, Facebook is back up and running. I received a text from my friend, Michelle, and she's right. I think what she said was right. She said they probably had to take it down because today is voting day and add some quote-unquote, air quote, fact checkers on there. And so I totally believe that. And because, you know, all those sheeple, they'll go for that. You know, those people out there, oh, yeah, this is what they said, so we must go with that. It's sad. It's sad, you guys. But let me see. I'm going to throw one more thing on here just to make sure I'm not missing anything major today before I jump off here. I'm going to jump over here to Olive Tree Views, guys. Olive Tree Views, if you haven't gone there lately. So let's see here. Taylor Swift engages in demonic rituals during concerts, Christian artist says. I read that. It's true. You know it. We all know it. She does. And to have people say, no, she doesn't. She's so, I'm like, have you watched her videos? I know you guys listen to her music, but have you watched the videos? No, of course not. Ah, you know, because if you did, you would know. There's nothing Christian about that. And let's see, why Biden's actions toward Israel place America on dangerous ground with God. Of course, this is from Jonathan Britner, the U.S. President. Secretary of State Blinken appeared determined to stop Israel from achieving an all-out victory in its war with Hamas. Though they would never admit such a thing, their proposals would provide Hamas with a tactical victory. And so we're going to check that out. That's at harbingersdaily.com. It was posted today by Jonathan Britner. In the past several weeks, President Biden has also been at the forefront of demanding that Israel accept a two-state solution as a way of appeasing the Palestinians. In other words, he would reward Hamas's barbarianism by giving them land that rightfully belongs to Israel. Not only that, but his proposal would also give Israel's enemies a strategic position to accomplish their true intent, which is the destruction of the Jewish state in the murder of the Israelites who dwell there. A couple of weeks ago, the U.S. vetoed a resolution calling for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza. Please don't be fooled by this empty show of support for Israel. The current U.S. leadership is no friend of Israel or the Jewish people. Biden's recommendations, if followed, would seriously degrade the security of Israel as well as the safety of its people. The actions of the Biden administration towards Israel place America on a dangerous ground for the following reasons. One, they will bring God's curse upon our nation. Yes, they will. The United States President and Secretary of State Blinken appeared determined to stop Israel from achieving an all-out victory in its war with Hamas. Though they would never admit such a thing, their proposals would provide Hamas with a tactical victory as well as a position of strength in negotiating the release of hostages that it has not already murdered. Because Israel still represents God's chosen people, see Romans chapter 11, verses 1 through 2, the warning of Genesis 12:3 remains in effect. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. The Hebrew word for dishonors you or curses you in the KJV is translated in a variety of ways in the Old Testament. In this context, it signifies those who would treat Israel with contempt and dishonor. It's the act of treating something lightly in the sense of placing little importance upon it. The word for I will curse, speaking in regard to God's response to those who treat his people with disdain, is different and signifies what we understand as a curse, or in this case, a judgment on those who would treat Israel with derision, such as the Biden administration. In the words of Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, still applies to God's covenant with Abraham, or if the words of Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, still apply to God's covenant with Abraham, which he reiterated to the descendants of Jacob in Psalm 105, verses 7 through 11, and they do, the actions of the Biden administration will surely bring a curse upon himself as well as upon the nation. His proposal to divide God's land will surely bring God's wrath. As I have written before, he says, include here for completeness, scripture makes it clear that those who attempt to divide God's land in the last days will incur his wrath. The prophet Joel reveals that God's wrath against the nations at the end of the tribulation will stem from their desire to divide my land. Joel chapter 3, verses 1 through 3 in the KJV says, "For behold, in those days and in that time when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. And they have cast lots for my people and have given a boy for a harlot and sold a girl for wine, that they might drink." And so we're going to go on. Once again, this article is written by Jonathan Brentner. He goes on to say, "The actions of President Biden and his administration will surely bring God's wrath upon the United States. One of the key signs of judgments that will overflow the earth during the quote day of the Lord that the prophet Joel writes about in his darkening of the sun. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come." Jesus is describing his return to earth after the judgments of the tribulation period. Also mentioned the darkening of the sun that will happen at his second coming. Although the April 8th, 2024 solar eclipse is not the darkening of the sun that will happen at the end of this age, I cannot escape the thought that it symbolizes the terrors that lie ahead for planet Earth. He says, "I also believe it's a warning to America as it occurs in connection with Biden's push to divide God's land and the contempt that the U.S. president is displaying towards Israel's leadership by seeking to impose ceasefires in Gaza that interfere with their goal of defeating Hamas. As the April 8th eclipse is garnering unprecedented interest for such an event, it occurs to me that the Lord might be causing this rabid attention. Could this be the Lord's way of drawing attention to his warning of judgment?" I think so, and I agree, Jonathan. He goes on to say, "A family member from the Dallas area recently told me that hotels in the area are selling out for the event. Delta offered a flight from Austin to Detroit for the sole purpose of giving people an opportunity to view the darkening of the sun from the air, and people quickly purchased all the tickets for it. Please know I'm not setting dates," he says, "but I cannot ignore the warning that's happening at a time when the U.S. is not only steeped in great wickedness and government corruption that goes far beyond the limits of our imagination, but also promoting policies toward Israel that the Bible says will surely result in the outpouring of God's wrath on any nation that behaves in such a way. Regardless of what the April 8th solar eclipse signifies regarding our future, America truly rests on dangerous grounds as its leaders treat Israel with great contempt and seek to divide God's land." The article is by Jonathan Brentner, and you can find it at harbingersdaily.com. It was posted today, and I completely agree with him. I know a lot of you guys do too. Our administration is bringing judgment upon our nation. And as Christians, what should we do? We should pray. We should pray for our leaders. We should pray for those in authority. And we should just continue to pray for leaders around the world. Because right now, it's looking very dark. And it doesn't make any sense. Do you guys see that? As Christians, you know, we have the mind of Christ. And thank God that we do. Because the rest of the world right now, as you can see, have lost their minds. They have lost their minds. They cannot reason. Romans 1 talks about that. And we are living in Romans 1 now. Not only in the United States, but I think globally. I think God is getting ready to pour his wrath out on this world of unbelievers. And so as right now, as it stands, if you do not have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus, I implore you today to make that decision. Today is the day of salvation, Christ says. There's no hoops or nothing you got to jump through. You don't got to be in a church. You don't, like I always say, you can be sitting on your couch eating Cheetos. You're like, whoa. You can be anywhere. It's a personal decision, a heart decision that you have to make. And I'm going to link the video to my pastor's sermon that he did on Sunday. It's Jericho, and it's a virtual tour of Israel, and he's going through that. We're on part 7 right now. But he says, "To all who received him," which is Jesus, "to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." That is John chapter 1, verse 12. And he says, and the whole thing is really cool, his whole sermon, it says, "The difference between relationship and fellowship. Your relationship with God is eternal. Your fellowship with God is conditional. And how to reform a relationship, how to form a relationship with God." And he goes, "It begins with the desire to know Jesus." And then he reads Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. And understanding your need for Jesus. All of us are sinful. We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It's Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Sin brings death. The wages of sin is death. That's Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Jesus gives life, eternal life, But the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord, Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Of course, it's developed by the Lord's interest in you. And so he does have an interest in us. In Luke chapter 19, verses 5 through 7, he uses the NIV. I don't, but he does. And it says, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. Jesus answered them, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Luke chapter 5, verse 31 through 32. 1 Timothy 1:5 says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Romans 5:8 says, God showed how much he loved us by having Christ die for us, even though we are sinners. That's the CEV. And so it is confirmed when you, well, I didn't get that all part done, when you received Christ. So, but Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, this is Luke chapter 19, verses 8 through 10. And, but Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. So salvation involves faith and repentance. And so it was a great sermon. You guys, he shows pictures when he was in Israel. He does tours in Israel. And so he's very, very knowledgeable about all those things. And I'm so thankful that he did not actually retire. And so, but if you guys go to our YouTube channel, New Hope Fellowship at River Road, there's a link to all of his sermons that I found through Lifeway. And I'll continue to look for more and put those on that channel as well. But that's a great sermon for you guys to watch if you're interested. And I'm going to put the link in the notes here. So with that, guys, I'm going to jump out of here and I'm going to work on my children's book. I'm writing the children's book, and we'll see how that goes. And I think I was the book After the Rapture, What Comes Next was free. I think I had it free for a few days. I think that's ended though, but I think I got a few more days. So I'm going to throw it back up there for free. If you guys go to Amazon, if you're on Kindle or Kindle Unlimited or whatever, Kindle Unlimited, I think it is free. It's still on a promotion there, but anyway, I'll see what I can do about that. But guys, it's a good book. Just for a preface from the book, I started out, I do give you the ABCs of how to be saved. That's from Pastor J.D. Farag, of course. I did do the updated version of this. And so what I did was I had two. So I thought they combined them, the updated edition, but it didn't. It did a completely separate thing. So what I did was I combined them with the original and I took the other book off. So that way it's just now the updated version. But anyway, the preface is, it comes from Matthew 24, verse 3 through 14. Now he sat on the Mount of Olives. The disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. That's the New King James Version. So that's the preface. And I'll give you like the table of contents real quick. Chapter 1, it must have been aliens. Chapter 2 was the Antichrist. Chapter 3 is the first half of the tribulation, which I go into that. Chapter 4 is Mark of the Beast. Chapter 5 is the second half of the tribulation. Chapter 6 talks about the two witnesses. And chapter 7 is God's wrath. And chapter 8 is the king is coming. And so it's a very quick, super, I think it's like 60 pages, power packed, scripture packed. I'll give you just chapter 1 here really quick. Let me see. scroll over here. So chapter one, it must have been aliens. Did you wake up to find that millions of people and children have disappeared? Or maybe they were standing next to you 1 second, then vanished in the blink of an eye? Maybe your spouse or children have suddenly disappeared. I'm sure you grapple. I'm sure as you grapple to find some sense of understanding that you are terrified, and rightly so. My friend, please listen carefully. These terrifying events that I'm about to share with you are real. They are going to happen. And believe me, your only hope is Jesus. The great tribulation is coming. Since you never repented of your sin and asked Jesus to be your savior, you have been left behind to suffer through this unimaginable horrific period known as the tribulation. The Lord Jesus Christ returned for his bride, the church, and has raptured us to heaven just like he promised. Do a quick inventory of your friends and family that have vanished. Do you see anything in common? Let me guess, they were all followers of Christ. They all read their Bibles and talked to you about Jesus, but you never had time for that nonsense, or so you thought then, only to realize now what a devastating decision that turned out to be. Please be assured that if you are reading this book and have not hardened your heart to the Lord Jesus, then there is still time for you to make your eternal decision for Christ. But you must make your decision now. Terrible times are coming upon the earth. Jesus loves you. Please accept his free gift of salvation and grace before it's too late. And of course, then I go in through a quick description of the rapture of the church. And I talk about that using scripture, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 to 54. And of course, you know, 1 Thessalonians, and I use all the scriptures there. And resources for biblical information and living in the end times and the coming tribulation. So I gave, you know, JD for Rog's website, Get a Life Media, Hope for Our Times, Real Life Basics with Pastor Jack Hibbs, Educating Our World with Don Stewart. All his books are free, by the way. And of course, the Bible Prophecy for Today website, where you can find all the rest of them. So I go into chapter two, the Antichrist. And here's a little bit of that. It says, please be cognizant of the order of events that are about to happen if they haven't already. This Antichrist will usher in a false peace, but be warned it will only last a short time, perhaps only 3.5 years or less. Satan will have an unholy trinity. It will be him, the dragon, the Antichrist, the one world ruler, beast, and the false prophet, world religious leader, more than likely the Pope. I will explain this in further detail in another chapter. There will be a peace covenant or an accord that will be signed with Israel and surrounding nations for 7 years. This will bring the long anticipated and hoped for peace in the Middle East. But please understand that once this peace deal is signed, this begins the 7-year tribulation spoken of Daniel the prophet. And that's Daniel chapter 9, 27. And I actually have it here. It says, then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, but in the middle of the week he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of abominations shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation which is determined is poured out on the desolate. Daniel 9:27. Know this, that the person who makes this deal with Israel is the one and only Antichrist spoken of in the Bible. I'm sure you have heard his name, whether in movies or books, but believe me, he is extremely real. His deeds will be wicked beyond any imagination, and his time is at hand. Pay close attention to what God and his word informed us about this coming one world ruler and of his wicked plans. And I said, who is the Antichrist? So he is a man that will ultimately be indwelt by Satan. He is the very embodiment of evil. He is wicked and blasphemous beyond any and all conceivable human comprehension. The Bible calls him a beast, the man of perdition, the man of sin. He will rise to become the world leader at first through a pseudo-peace. However, his true reprehensibly wicked intentions will soon be revealed to the world through his very own actions. Do not be deceived by his charm, wit, and charisma. Listen to how the Apostle Paul describes him in Scripture. And the Apostle Paul talks about him in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And I have that here. And it says, Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And that is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verses 1 through 4. This man will rise to global popularity. He will be winsome, say all the right things, have all the answers, and he will usher in a global, quote, peace, unquote. But listen, it is a false peace, as you will soon see in the second half of the tribulation. He'll be a great orator and will seduce the population with his allure and personality. But know this, he is wicked and evil beyond any shadow of a doubt. Do not listen to him and do not trust him. He is a deceiver, a murderer, and a liar, and has been since the beginning. Just listen to what our Lord Jesus says about him. This is John chapter 8, verses 44 in the New King James Version. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Daniel in the Old Testament, Daniel, the Old Testament prophet, described this coming beast in Scripture. Then I desired to know the truth about the fourth beast, which was different from all the rest, exceedingly terrifying, with its teeth of iron and claws of bronze, and which devoured in broken pieces and stamped what was left with its feet, and about the 10 horns that were on its head, and the other horn that came up, and before which three of them fell, the horn that had eyes and a mouth that spoke great things, and that seemed greater than its companions. As I looked, this horn made war with the saints and prevailed over them, until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given for the saints of the Most High, and the time came when the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, as for the fourth beast, there shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all the kingdoms, and it shall devour the whole earth, and trample it down, and break it into pieces. As for the 10 horns, out of this kingdom 10 kings shall arise, and another shall arise after them. He shall be different from the former ones, and shall put down 3 kings. He shall speak words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and shall think to change the times and the law. And they shall be given into his hand for a time, times, and half a time. But the court shall sit in judgment, and his dominion shall be taken away, to be consumed and destroyed to the end. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. His kingdom shall be an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Here is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts greatly alarmed me, and my color changed, but I kept the matter in my heart. As Daniel chapter 7, verses 19 to 20 in the ESV. And I say, pay attention to how the Apostle John describes the coming beast from Scripture. And this is Revelation chapter 13, verses 1 through 8. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard, his feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And he was given a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the lambs slain from the foundation of the world. Revelation chapter 13, verse 1 through 8. The Bible tells us that Satan is the prince of the air. Ephesians 2:2 tells us that, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. And so, folks, there's a whole lot more in that book. That's just a couple pages. So, and if you do want to grab that book, you can go on to Amazon, and I'll put the link in the bottom there if you want to. I think I have it for like $4 or something, $4.50. I don't know, whatever. With that, guys, I'm going to get out of here. Text will be up to say bye at least twice. You know how that goes. So with that, I'm going to get out of here. So get in the Word of God. Let the Word of God get into you. And Maranatha, Lord Jesus, Maranatha, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Thanks y'all so much for listening. May God bless each and every one of you.